But this morning, I wanted to kind of end off Thanksgiving, if you will, end off November, since it's the last Sunday, and just to, talking about thankfulness, being authentically thankful. God's been speaking to me a lot every Thanksgiving, but especially this Thanksgiving, about authenticity and your thankfulness. A lot of times we, like I said in the prayer, we say thank you because our parents say, hey, they gave you that. You better say thank you. Or, you know, you'll say, well, that's polite, but I better say thank you. Even if I don't like it, I have to take it. So I should say thank you. And the fact of the matter is, that's not what God wants from us. God does not want our pity thank you, does not want our thank you because we have to, does not want a forced or a rehearsed thank you. He wants an authentic, a real, a devout, and an earnest thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your sacrifices. Thank you for what you've given us. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. All these things, he wants us to be authentic, though, and real. I used to work for the Salvation Army, and we would get the red kettles. The red kettles going on right now, right? So red kettles going crazy. People ringing the bells, and people are dropping in money left and right into those kettles, right? They're giving them money. The Salvation Army can continue to do their ministry that they've been called to do. A lot of times those red kettles, we had to go count them. And so we'd be counting kettles, and it never, ever failed. Every single year, there's always a fake $100 bill. I'm not sure if it was somebody doing the same person doing it over and over, but every year there was always at least one fake $100 bill. And the way you could tell that it was fake is there were certain markers on this $100 bill that showed it to not be a real one, not to be authentic. You know, if you hold up to the light, of course, the dollars have a watermark, a little line down the side that if you have a fake one, it does not have those. And as real as this one looked, I could tell it was fake because this one even had the watermarks. It had the watermarks on it. I was like, man, this is a really good $100 bill. It's a fake one. But the thing about it is the way I could tell that it was fake is because I've counted so much money, I get the feel of it. It was real thin and almost slimy feeling because they didn't have the right ink to print the money. And so I could feel that it was not authentic. I could feel that it was fake. As real as it looked, I could feel the fakeness in it. And that's what sometimes we do. We can look really thankful. We can look like we're really grateful for all the stuff that we have in our lives. But the fact of the matter is the Lord God knows our heart. And so he can feel when our thankfulness and our gratitude is not authentic and is fake. It's like that $100 bill. I felt it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's fake. So I can tell God over and over, I'm thankful, I'm grateful. But the fact of the matter is he can go to my heart and feel and know that's not real. That's not authentic. To the outside world, to everybody else that's looking in on me like, oh, yeah, he's a really grateful person. He's really always giving thanks to God. He's always praying, always praising, always worshiping, always going to church and doing this, that, and the other. The fact of the matter is, just you can't see my heart. My prayer is that my heart is authentically thankful to God. My prayer is that yours is also. There are three things one must do to be authentically thankful. Authentically thankful. You know, a lot of times it's hard. It's easy to be thankful when things are going right, right? Money's flowing, stuff's good at home, car's running well, job's going well, getting raises maybe, getting promotions, getting commendations, health is good, clothes look good, everything's running on all cylinders. It's so easy to say, thank you, God, for all the great stuff you've given me. So easy to say, thank you, God, for this wonderful life. Thank you, God, for these blessings. But as soon as one bad thing goes wrong, one bad thing, we almost forget. All of a sudden, we all forget that God has been so good to us and how much he's done for us because of one little thing. One little hiccup can cause us to go into this snowball effect, if you will, of unthankfulness and ungratitude towards the Lord. I want to point your attention to a scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 3. We're going to go through 14. It says this. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all of your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So what he's saying to these Israelites, say, hey, if you're going to really, really give it all to God, you're really going to worship him, then you turn back to God fully. Don't hold on to any other idols, anything else. You give it all to God fully. And so the Israelites put away their bells and their asterisks and served only the Lord. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day, they fasted and they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. Now Samuel was serving as a leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. So, Philistines are praying, they're praising, they're worshiping, they're even fasting. And they've given out the water they poured out. They're giving out offerings for God. They're doing all these things, right? And it's kind of one of the first sub-points, if you will. Number one is we must be thankful even in times of trouble. To be authentically thankful, number one, you must be thankful even in times of trouble. Now, I said earlier, it's real easy when everything's going well to say, thank you for all that I have. But as soon as stuff goes going wrong, we panic. We freak out. What can I do to fix this situation? And that is not what God has for us. Don't get me wrong. You're not supposed to just lay back and just sit back and, you know, not do anything. You do your part. But we're not to panic or worry or get anxious about anything, the Lord says. And instead, we're to take everything to the Lord with prayer, supplication. Fact of the matter is, bad stuff does happen, even when you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. The Israelites were doing everything they were supposed to do. They were praying, praising, worshiping, fasting, giving. They're doing all these things. You might say to yourself, I'm going to church. My prayer life is good. I've fasted before the Lord. I've worshiped the Lord. I've given of my time, my effort, my money, my things. I've done all these things. Why does bad stuff keep happening to me? The fact of the matter is sometimes bad stuff still just happens. John 16:33 is very clear. In this world, you will have troubles. That's a promise. So bad stuff is going to happen. Bad stuff will happen. Even when you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. Still in the midst, you must say, thank God. Thank God. So what do I do then? What do I do whenever bad stuff is happening? I'm supposed to still remain thankful. How do I remain thankful when bad stuff is happening? You do this. You pray with faith that God will provide even when the Philistines are on the horizon. See, the Israelites were scared, terrified. The Philistines were on the horizon. They were on the cusp or the threshold, if you will, of their land, getting ready to attack them. And they were terrified. What does Samuel say? You all continue to cry out to the Lord, and I'm going to cry out on your behalf, but you have faith. You have faith that the Lord will deliver you from the Philistines, and he will. And so the Israelites said, okay, we're going to pray with fervent prayer. We're going to pray with all faith that God's going to take care of this. And sure enough, he thwarted the Philistines as they came up upon. He thwarted the Philistines they came upon. Maybe you have a Philistine on the horizon of your life right now. That bill that's right there, how am I going to pay it? Because right now, Lord, my bank account says this, and this bill says this. You know, I have an illness diagnosis that was given to me, and it says this, but what say you, Lord? You know, I have a person in my life, a family member, a friend, or even an enemy who does not believe in you. They said they're never going to believe in you. They're an atheist for the rest of their lives. That's what they say. Father God, what say you? See, so many times We want to tell God how big our problem is. We forget to tell our problem how big our God is. Because when we pray with all faith and we pray with a fervent prayer of faith, that problem looks this big instead of this big. Like I said earlier, you know, God-sized problems. God-sized problem to us is nothing but a drop in a bucket for the Lord. That gallon jug of problem that you have, God says nothing but a sprinkle that will evaporate before the sun even rises. That's how small of a problem it is for God. But only when we have all faith and give it over to him in that time. So when we first do, first we must be authentically thankful. It means real thankfulness, a thankfulness that is not fake or fabricated or manufactured, but a thankfulness that comes straight from our hearts, from God. And the way we do that, by number one, is we start with being thankful, even in tough and trying times. You know, the first person that kind of taught me that, and believe it or not, was my daughter, Macy. As you guys know, about over a year ago, we had Macy, and she left our home back in March. I told the story before about Macy. Macy was a special foster for us. Macy was very medically needy. Macy was premature. As a matter of fact, I think she only had like, I want to say 55 or 60% chance of living. So she was right on the cusp, but could have gone either way. As a matter of fact, her twin who was born did not make it, passed away in the NICU. But Macy made it. Macy made it, and she spent 8 months in the NICU on her back, not able to do anything but just basically get kept alive, be kept alive by machines, fed, breathing for, all that stuff for 8 months. And finally, her little body got strong enough that could pull her off the machines. And when she came to us straight from the NICU, off the machine, she still had a breathing machine at home, and she still had a pulse ox, which is a monitor that monitors her heartbeat, her oxygen rate, all this kind of stuff, right? So Macy came home to us in that state. Macy was in a rough state. And as a matter of fact, Macy didn't even smile, I don't think, for the first month she was in our house. I promise you she didn't. I'm not exaggerating. I was like, man, this baby just does not smile. I can't get her to giggle, laugh, nothing. I was like, geez, this is rough. I did all the things I could. I looked at her. I you know, made funny faces. I made regular faces. Hopefully it made you think my face was funny. Something. Nothing. Macy didn't even laugh. I was assuming, like, well, she's probably just in so much pain. She just doesn't know what to laugh at or what's even funny or what's good, right? And so it was one night that Macy was crying, inconsolable. I'm talking about patting her didn't work, rocking her didn't work, music. I was playing like her little sound machine, little sounds usually come her down, nothing. Driving around the block didn't work, walking her, bouncing her, nothing worked to calm Macy down. And so finally I just started singing. I started singing the song that we ended with, Gratitude. That's part of it says, come on my soul, oh don't you get shy on me. And I started singing that, and it's like a switch flipped. And she stopped crying instantly. And I know what am I singing because I sang another other songs. She still never stopped crying. But that song got her. And I got to the part that said, so I throw up my hands. And I remember literally putting my hands up and praising God for relief. Not because it's a relief of my ears or a relief of, you know, my sanity because she was screaming, but relief because I was like, oh, finally, relief of this baby is what it is. And I remember thinking, man, Macy's been through so much, been through all these things, but when you sing about gratitude, it makes you stop crying. You sing about gratitude, it makes you stop crying. A lot of times, half of us haven't been through anywhere near what Macy's been through. We'll probably go through the rest of her life. But Macy, when I'm singing gratitude, was able to stop. I thought to myself, dang, if we could just give authentic gratitude to the Lord, it's really hard to cry about bad things. It's really hard to be upset, really hard to be mad, really hard to be offended, really hard to be hurt when you give God your authentic thankfulness and gratitude. See, it's hard for me to talk about my brother and sister in Christ when I'm too busy thanking God. It's hard to talk about and think about the terrible things going on in my life when I'm too busy being thankful to God. So even in those rough times, even those hard times, we must remember to be thankful, even in the rough and hard times. Number two, if we're going to be truly thankful, authentically thankful, we must be generous with what we have. If we're going to be authentically thankful, people who give authentic gratitude, we are to be generous with what we have. know, I did some studying about the first Thanksgiving because I was just curious about why. Why did Thanksgiving happen? Why did Thanksgiving, why this whole thing, why all of a sudden now we have turkeys and hams and cranberry sauce and stuffing and dressing and mashed potatoes and candy yams? Why do we have all this stuff now? What? How did this all start? Because it wasn't just like somebody getting to a house having dinner, but okay, we're going to call this Thanksgiving. We're going to start doing this every single year. So I had to get to the bottom of it because that's how my brain works. And when I got to the bottom of it, I found out that the first Thanksgiving happened because the Native Americans who were here and inhabited America were so overly grateful and thankful for the crops that had come in. They said the only way we can show how thankful we are is if we share it with people. The only way we can show how authentically, how real, how much thankfulness we have for this crop that comes in, we need to share it. And so they shared it with the pilgrims. So the first Thanksgiving looked a lot different than Thanksgiving we have now. There were no turkeys, there were none of that kind of stuff. They shared the crops that they had. They shared the meat that they had. And what happened was the pilgrims said, oh my gosh, your thankfulness and your gratitude and your generosity has spurred upon thankfulness in us. So now we want to be generous and give back because of your generosity. And so they gave back. So the first Thanksgiving had things like eels, deer. There were pumpkins, no pumpkin pie. I don't eat pumpkin pie anyways. There was corn, maize, they called it. There's all these things that we don't eat now. Some of us do eat now. But they were sharing things back and forth because they were both so thankful and so grateful for all that they had. And it spurred upon this generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul's talking to the church of Corinth and talking about how, and I think we read this verse and this passage well before we do tithing, excuse me. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm just going to read it for you. It says this starting in verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So, thankfulness. When you're truly thankful, your thankfulness leads to generosity. And when you give generously, your generosity leads back to thankfulness. It's like a cycle. I'm so thankful, I'm going to give away. Oh, I've given away, I feel so thankful. I'm going to give away some more and more and more. And the Lord says that those who give give abundantly will be restored abundantly. So if we sow sparingly, like, okay, I mean, I have a lot to give, but, like, you can have a couple of dollars. You can have a couple minutes of my time. You can have a little bit of my effort because I got to save something for me. I got to save something for myself and what I got to do. Hear me well. I'm not saying to give away all your money. I'm not saying to give away all your effort, all your time. But I am saying that if you can do more, do more. If you can be more, be more. A long time ago, I had a youth pastor tell me that maybe you can't give your money, and that's okay. God's blessed us all differently and in different ways. What you can always give is your time. What you can always give is your effort. I'm mainly talking to young people. I know that y'all are broke. Because I was one young person once too. I'm broke now, okay? But I do know that if I can't give money, I can always give time and effort. So a lot of times in our church, our youth pastor tells us, hey, y'all can't tithe money. You can tithe hours, though. Come up to the church, mow something. Come up to the church, clean something. Come up to the church, go to a church member's house, maybe who's unable to do so. I remember what we did as a youth, and we'll probably start to adopt that here, is we used to go to people's houses because we had a lot of older congregation. And they'd go and, like, we'd help them with work and then do around the house, whether it was mowing, picking up leaves. One lady had us come and just help her clean her windows. All she wanted was her windows clean. It took us maybe 10 minutes with three or four of us going over and doing all the windows in her house. And she was just so authentically grateful. And we felt good. And it's like, and we felt thankful to God for us to be able to do that for her, because she was like, oh my gosh, that's just so awesome. That's just so great. And then we felt great. And then we want to go do more. So all the kids were like, well, who else can we go help now? And it's kind of this cycle. It started this cycle because the generosity breeds thankfulness. Thankfulness breeds generosity. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. We're thankful to God, and our generosity should outpour. Not, oh, well, thank you, God, but I'm going to hold on to all this blessing for myself. Not the way it works. You've been blessed. You bless others. And in return, you get to be blessed again by their thankfulness and generosity. Authentically. Because generosity and thankfulness, both these things give glory to God. When we're authentically thankful, God gets the glory. We don't get out there and go, oh my gosh, God, thank you so much for my life and my abundance. So we can rub it in people's faces, so we can show them, right? There's that man in the temple who's praying, right? Thank you, God, I'm not like these unrighteous, unholy sinners. Thank you that I've, you know, fasted every single day. Thank you for all this. And then, of course, it's the sinner in the temple praying, saying, Father God, I'm unworthy, but thank you for allowing me to be in the temple and be in your house and for your mercy and your grace. And that second prayer was heard a lot better than that first one. Because that first one was all about me, 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 I. That second one said, God, it's about me, the fact that I'm terrible, and I thank you. Because Paul said, I'm like Paul on this one, of these, I am the worst. But thank you, Father, that I don't have to succumb to the punishment that I deserve because of your mercy and grace. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Thankfulness, generosity go hand in hand, and they should give glory to God. When you give something to somebody, you don't say, well, look what I did. I'm a good person. I just gave them $40 to go get gas. I'm going to pat myself on the back, and everybody's going to pat me on the back too for that $40 I gave. I just went down there and I came up to the church and I served. I cleaned up the church and I did all this. I mowed the entire back lot and I spray painted the parking lot and I did all these things. By the way, if you want to do all those things, those are all available if you want to come up here and do that. But we don't say that to bring glory to ourselves. I'm going to use an example because I can. He's my dad. But Pastor Forney comes up here. He won't ever tell you this, but he'll be in his suit, jacket, cleaning the bathroom. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of pastors do not do that. Do not do that. He's up for cleaning, vacuuming, but he'll never say, well, y'all, I cleaned the bathroom today before I start praying, before I start preaching. I cleaned the bathroom and I changed the air filters and I did all this stuff just so y'all know I'm out here working, right? It's not the way it's supposed to work. He's not his head. It's not the way it's supposed to work, right? You just do these things because you're thankful. I'm sure dad's thankful for a building that God's given him to do ministry in. That is able to continue to do all these things. So what does he do? He becomes a good steward and takes care of it. Whether he does it, somebody else does it, it's got to be taken care of, right? And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're authentically thankful. We're authentically thankful, so I'm going to give of myself. I'm going to get up on this ladder. I'm going to change this air filter. You're like, oh, that's just a small thing. Yeah, but that small thing can turn into a big thing. If you're a homeowner or somebody who has a house, you know. A dirty air filter can jack up a system real quick. And then what happens? We're out a bunch of money. Any small thing can become a big thing over time if it's left unattended to. And so if we're truly thankful, authentically thankful, our generosity pours out. I'm going to give of myself all that I can. I want to keep that cycle going authentically. Last thing, we must be thankful for exactly what God's done for us. Authentically thankful for what God's done for us. This is where I'll kind of wrap up and close after this parable. This is in Luke 17. Starts in verse 7 and goes through 11. Oh, sorry. Starts in 11. I said 11. 11 to 17. So Luke 17, 11 to 17. It says this. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has been made well." Now, if you didn't know, leprosy is a skin disease, a skin condition that causes discoloration of the skin. And it looks really nasty, or can look really nasty. And back then, if you were succumbed with disease or sickness, they believed that, oh, you're sick because you're full of sin. You're sick, you're going through this because you're full of sin. We know that nowadays that's not true. You're not sick because you're full of sin. You're sick because that's what the body does to get sick sometimes, right? What happens is when you get sick like that, you're supposed to go present yourself in front of the rulers to show yourself to be cleansed. Otherwise, you're put to death because you don't get anybody else sick. And so these guys knew Jesus. I'm sure they heard about all the miracles he'd been doing earlier in the chapter. All he'd done is like, well, we know if anybody can heal us, this guy can. So they cry out to Jesus. And of course, he says, well, y'all go ahead and go show yourselves to the rulers. And at this time, they didn't even know they were healed yet. Right? They're just like, well, he said to go show himself to the rulers. We're going to have faith. We're going to go show himself to the rulers. And of course, the Samaritan man's like, oh, shoot, I am healed. I got to run back and tell this guy thank you, because if it weren't for him, I'd be walking away to my death right now. Because if I walk in front of this guy and these rulers and I'm not healed, they're going to kill me. And so he runs back and he says he falls at Jesus' feet and says, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And it's authentic gratitude because it happened at the point of whenever the act happened. Right? And so, Jesus' response, though, was like, oh, man, good. I was like, but hold up. There was 10 of y'all, right? He's like, now this is me paraphrasing. God didn't say this. But if that was me being Jesus, I'd be like, listen, I might be some dumb. I'm not plumb dumb. Wasn't there 10 of y'all? 9? Well, yeah, there should be 9 more people coming to say thank you. Only 1. That's interesting. Wow. And the only one who came back to say thank you was this unclean Samaritan. Because, see, when we said foreigner, the Samaritans were foreigners to that land, and the Samaritans were thought to be lowly of low, the lowest class and the dirtiest of people. But the only one who came back to say thank you was the unclean Samaritan. He says, go, for your faith has been made whole and restored. Like, well, what's that got to do with me? Everything. The fact of the matter is, God does stuff for us every single day. And we're just like the Israelites who continue to go on with our lives. Oh, yep. Well, I got up today. That was on me. I woke up. I woke myself up, obviously. Wasn't God. So I'm going to go through all my life. Got my teeth brushed. Got my shower done. Got myself dressed. Got my car. Oh, it'll start right up. That was me. You know, I maintain my car well, so my car starts right up. So obviously, that was on me. Got a tank full of gas. Well, I filled it up, so that was me. So I'm going to go ahead and drive onto this job that I got all by myself without any help from anybody else. I'm going to go ahead and do this job. I'm going to do this job under my own power because obviously nobody's helping me do this job. I'm doing my job by myself because I'm awesome. I'm great. There's no one better than me. I'm done with this job. I'm going to go home to this house that I purchased by myself, obviously, because I had the money to do so. I worked everything out, and I made everything happen to where I get this perfect house for my perfect spot for my job and for my church and for my wife's job. So I'm going to go home, cook this food that's in my house that I bought. So obviously I'm great because I went shopping. I'm smart. I did all these things. Cook this food. Oh, it tastes good because I'm a good cook, whatever. And now that I'm done with that, I'm going to sit down and watch my big old TV that I wouldn't purchase because, you know, I can do that. And then I'm going to hang out with my kids because I love them and they're great. And I obviously acquired them myself with nothing to do with anybody else. Now I'm going to go to sleep with my wife, who's fantastic. And we're going to go to bed and we're going to wake up and do it all over again because we are doing life like we're supposed to because we're great. And that sounds really pompous and arrogant. But that's exactly what we do. We fail to say thank you to God for every little thing. When we don't return back to the Lord, which is exactly how we sound, we don't return back to the Lord and say, thank you, thank you. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for this job. Thank you for this car, this house, these kids, this wife. Thank you for this life. Thank you for this money you've given me to be able to go do all these things. Thank you. Instead, we continue to go throughout our days doing stuff without stopping to say thank you. You guys in here, parents, I'm a first-time parent. And, you know, one of the things that will get you is if you're doing these things for your kid, they don't realize that's happening, and they're not saying thank you. It's like, man, I'm making you meals. I'm getting you up. I'm getting you dressed. I'm cleaning up your dirty diapers. I'm doing all this. What you mean? No thank you at all? You know, all you do is cry. All you do is complain. That's just Sean. No, I'm just kidding. And so, it goes on and on and on and on. You're like, man, like, they don't ever say thank you at all. Do you think back, oh, wait a minute. My parents did the same thing for me. I'm sure I didn't say thank you enough. Oh, wait a minute. Even more so, my God does all this for me. And I know I don't say thank you enough. Because without God, I am and I have nothing. But what do? I fail to say thank you, Lord. I bet you, I'm not a gambler, but I bet you that a lot of us forgot to say thank you, God, for getting me here this morning. Yeah, I mean, I drive that same road every single day. It's back and forth. It's every single Sunday. I can do my eyes closed, whatever. Like, that's going to happen to me on the way to church. So we think, that's going to happen. There's no wreck or nothing like that. I'm just going to get there. I mean, I'm a good driver. I'm alert. I've been driving for years. But we don't say, thank you, Lord, for getting me here. Or when you get back home, thank you, Lord, for getting me home safe tonight. You know, I go home at least seven times a week, if not more. And I don't say, thank you, Lord, for getting me home. Thank you, Lord, for getting me home safely to my family, to be able to continue to do life like you called me to do. Thank you, Lord, for getting me to and from work safely, be able to do work like you called me to do. Thank you, Lord, for this body, though beaten and worn. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for everything in my life. Thank you for it. We fail to say thank you because we're not authentic. We say thank you as a reflex because it's been instilled into us. Somebody gives you something, you say thank you. Somebody does something for you, say thank you. And unfortunately, we've gotten to a point where it's almost robotic and it's not authentic anymore. Not only is it authentic for the people that we do stuff for us, it's not authentic for God. Because we're saying, thank you, God, for this, that, and the other, but I'm going to continue to act the way I want to act, continue to do what I want to do, continue to be who I want to be and treat people the way I want to treat people. It has nothing to do with you. It's just who I am. And that's not the way thankfulness works. That's the way true gratitude works. So kind of just a review. We must be authentically thankful. And to be authentically thankful, we must be thankful even in hard times, even with the Philistines on the horizon, even in the midst of the danger, we have to pray faithfully and be thankful. Our thankfulness must produce generosity, and our generosity must produce thankfulness. We're authentically thankful. We give of ourselves all that we can because we're thankful for all we've been given, only because we want to give it out more, so that when we are given more, we can continue to bless others. And lastly, to be authentically thankful, must we remember every single thing that God's done for us, which is everything for us in our lives. Question is, well, how do I do that? How do I remain authentically thankful? How do I remain and continue to do? It's part of 2 Samuel. I'm going to go back over. First, remember how to be authentically thankful. It's going to be part of a challenge I give to you later. 2 Samuel 7. First Samuel 7, sorry guys. As it went through to the end, it says this in starting verse 10. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. So the Philistines are coming. The trouble was coming. The Israelites were praying, praising, worshiping, fasting still to the Lord. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So how do you remain authentically thankful? You set up in your life an Ebenezer, a monument, and a remembrance, Now remember, we're not making an idol. We're making a monument, a memorable, you know what I'm talking about, memorial. Oh my gosh, a memorial to the thankfulness that God has given us. That's what Ebenezer is. It's a stone. It's a replica of something. Here's a great Ebenezer, the cross. You know, I talked about that cross being cheapened last month. The cross is supposed to be an Ebenezer to remind us of what God's done for us, remind us to be thankful, because it says, thus far, the Lord has provided. So thus far to the cross and beyond, the Lord will provide. But maybe it's at the cross. Maybe something else in your life, in your house. Maybe you have something you're going to put on your mantle. Maybe it's something you and your family are going to come up with to build in your home to remind yourselves of what God's done for you. An Ebenezer. How do you mind? Be authentically thankful. Something we can look at. An Ebenezer we can look at to remind ourselves. For me, of course, it's the cross, but I have this bracelet. This colorful bracelet right here. You might have seen me wearing it for a long time. This bracelet I got in Guatemala. I gave this to every single person on the mission team to remind myself to be thankful, because the things I saw in Guatemala reminded me how good we have it in America. Because, see, in Guatemala, at the orphanage, we stayed at, and the orphanage was a upper-class type place. We had to time our showers. They had 3 hours of water per day. 3 hours. Not how many gallons, not how many liters. They could run the thing for 3 hours a day. So you couldn't take longer than a five-minute shower, or you'd be being greedy, number one, and then somebody else would not be able to take their shower because of that. To the point where the people who worked at the orphanage, they didn't live there, so they would only take showers when they worked. So they would take showers at the orphanage, take a good shower before they left, and then once they're off for the next 3 days, they didn't shower at home because they didn't have inside plumbing at their houses. The indoor plumbing was the orphanage. They farm, they work, they do everything by hand. I remember we were helping them on the side of the mountain clear weeds, right? You would think, oh, yeah, get the weed eater, go chop down through, they would be done. We're using machetes by hand. Okay, well, that's cool. That's all right. Well, how are we going to move all this grass and all this brush back up? Oh, we'll probably have some wheelbarrows. Maybe. Nope, we have some paint buckets. We're going to put them on a rope, and we're going to carry them up the side of the mountain. I'm going to work at that tirelessly. Of course, us being lazy Americans, we died the first day. I think we had made it 2 hours before we were about to pass out. And these guys are just running circles around us. They're just, they do this for a living, so they're just doing it. But remind you, man, we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. That's my Ebenezer. I challenge you and your family, set up an Ebenezer in your home, whether it be a cross, some kind of monument to replicate something that God's done for you. Like I said, for the Israelites, it was just a stone they carved the words Ebenezer into. It says, thus far the Lord has provided for us. What's going to be your Ebenezer? Will you be authentically thankful? Because nothing's worse than an unauthentic thank you from somebody. I know you've heard it before. You've given somebody something that you're just so excited, something that you just knew was going to make their day, or something that you knew they needed, and they go, oh, thank you. Nothing is my blood. Ooh. Okay, give me back. Give back. You don't deserve it. Give back here. Wong, get out of here. You know what I mean? Or even like the thanks. It's even worse. Thanks. Ooh, don't say that. I don't believe you mean that. You don't believe you mean that. Don't say that. It's the authentic, oh my goodness, thank you. I needed this. Use the XYZ. And that's what the Lord wants from us. Not a passing thanks or a thank you. Like, you're supposed to do that anyways. You're the Lord. You're supposed to provide. That's the way that works. It's a thank you, Lord. Earnestly, honestly, fervently. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Lord, thank you. Because when we're authentically thankful, the Lord is well pleased. And when we're not, he knows it, because he can feel and see the depths of our heart. So my prayer is, from this point on, when you say thank you, not just to the Lord, but to others, your thank you is authentic. And so I want to say authentically, thank you, church body, for being who you are. Oh, I get to brag about New Joy Fellowship all the time. When I ask, where do you go to church at? Where do you worship at? Where do you do ministry at? I can say New Joy Fellowship. And I can tell you right now, it's a good body of people there that love the Lord. I want to say thank you that I can say that with all honesty and not just be putting on a show. I want to say thank you for those who tirelessly work, who maybe are not seen all the time. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord sees what you're doing. That should be enough. Continue to do what you've been doing, what you've been called to do. Even if it's a background thing that nobody knows about. Maybe you come up here and you do something that nobody knows about, but you know if you stop doing it, it would stop things working around here. My last visual, and I'll be done. The show called The Office, that's a silly show. That's a show that I watch that just one of those things where my brain gets to turn off and kind of just laugh at some silly stuff. But there's a scene one time, you know, Michael, who's the idiot boss that everybody gets on everybody's nerves, he has an idiot coworker named Dwight. And Dwight's kind of that guy that everybody picks on because he's kind of weird and eccentric, and he's just a kooky dude. Well, what happens is Michael ends up firing Dwight. Dwight quits, and he moves on and goes to Staples. Well, one day Michael comes in after Dwight's been gone for a minute, and he's like, man, when I go to my office, it's not like set up like I had it before. I come in, my coffee be made, and my action figures be set in a certain way, and my papers be stacked. Like, I need to talk to the cleaning people. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Come to find out that Dwight was doing that. Dwight was doing that. It had nothing to do with the cleaning guys, nothing to do with the janitors. It was Dwight doing that because he knew that Michael needed that to get his day going and to be happy and have a good day. And Michael was just like, huh, wow. And what happens is in that episode, spoiler alert, Dwight comes back. And at the end credits, Dwight's in Michael's office while he's sitting at his desk, and he's arranging all the stuff the way it's supposed to be. And Michael just goes, thank you. And it's that kind of thank you the Lord's looking for. Authentic, like, oh, wow, thank you. But for you and what you're doing, I want you to continue to do what you're doing. But I want to say for us as a body, we have to be more authentic in saying thank you to one another. You see somebody doing something that you're like, oh, man, that really need to be done. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wow, that. You thought about that. I didn't even think about that. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wow. That would not have happened if you hadn't made that happen. Thank you. Don't take it for granted. People are moving and doing stuff. Always be ready to say thank you. Father God, thank you so much for who you are. When I say the word thank you, Father God, I want to brush over it. I want to say and stop and say thank you. Thank you authentically for the life you've given me, the life you've given us. Thank you authentically for the mercy and grace you bestowed upon us. Thank you authentically for the provisions you've made for us now and even the stuff that we haven't seen yet. Thank you authentically for the ways you continue to bless us and watch over us as a ministry, as a body. Thank you authentically for every single person you've brought into this ministry and for those who are coming. We thank you for those who are coming in authenticity. Father God, forgive us where we fail to be real and authentic in our thankfulness for you, where we fail to be generous and grateful. Forgive us, Father God, when we fail to recognize the stuff that you've done in our lives. We want to say once again authentically, thank you. Thank you. Father God, as we continue to worship you, let your spirit be among us. And we're going to advance, say thank you for being with us. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.